The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good morning to you and your audience.
Nice to have
you. I'm not so sure about the introduction.
Well, yeah, because I was looking at it myself and I was saying, well, this ought to be something new because I don't know about this one either. That's why I was hesitant and halfway through I stopped because I said, wait, this ought to be somebody else we're talking about here. Yeah. Okay. So Dr. Ramkisoon, it's nice to have you with us. You're well known. No further introductions are needed. The topic that I'm seeing here that we are here to talk about is competition and the role of regulations.
I think
I'll allow you to explain this for us before we get into the discussion.
Yeah, sure. The idea first, if we talk about competition, is competition amongst businesses. And the emphasis really is on fair competition. I think once we say fair competition, we begin to realize what the Fair Trading Commission is about.
Mm-hmm.
One can have competition in any dimension of life, if you like, but it need not always be fair. And we can think about sports, we can think about other areas. What we are about and why we were set up in the first place, established in 2014, was to ensure fair competition. And we will talk more as we go along. And then we are very much aware that there are a number of regulatory agencies overlooking the entire economy, and we know several of them in various sectors of the economy. So you have regulators focusing on particular sectors, the banking and insurance sector, the telecommunications sector, etc. What the Act of 2006 empowers the Fair Trading Commission to do is to ensure that there is fair competition across industries, across companies, and that unfair trade practices are in fact discouraged, prevented, and the idea being based on theory and practice that economies deliver better services, more companies are involved, the consumer benefits. When you have an economy in which you have fair competition, so overall, you want to have fair competition across industries while at the same time having sector regulators look at the unique qualities or characteristics of particular sectors of the economy.
Mm.
You want to have them, of course, working together, the FTC and other regulators, working together to promote a healthier economy, to promote growth, to promote investment.
How would you describe the local climate, the local landscape when it comes to this issue of competition and fair competition?
Well, we find that there are some practices which companies have adhered to for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are attempting to do in the first instance is to advise companies as to what is acceptable behavior under the Act, which was passed way back in 2006. So we are attempting to sensitize companies as to what kinds of behaviors are not acceptable and what they should not pursue in the new environment, the Act being fully proclaimed only in 2020. And so we have companies, by and large, we have a fair degree of competition taking place, but at the same time, we are aware and we hear unofficially of certain practices that we do not want to encourage, that we want to prevent, that we want to stop.
Let's
and mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to to put forward some examples so that people can get a clearer idea of exactly what it is we're talking about. You're speaking about acceptable practices versus unacceptable. Let's deal with some of the unacceptable ones. Give us examples. I don't think you would identify companies or individuals or anything else, but generally speaking, I think we can speak about them. Tell us about some of them.
Yes. So, for example, companies under the Act are not allowed to separate markets in the sense that they decide amongst themselves that some will sell their goods and services to a certain part of Trinidad, and they decide amongst themselves that others will deliver goods and services to another part of Trinidad and or Tobago, that they would in fact be acting in an, if you like, an illegitimate way in delivering services, because it would mean that there is not fair competition where all companies can sell goods and services in South, in North, in Tobago, in East, in West, and that the end result of not following proper practice will be higher prices, less or not adequate quality of goods and services in those particular regions. So that would be one example. Companies getting together to form, if you like, cartel arrangements, so that in terms of bidding for particular projects, they get together and they decide who should get that project and what happens to the rest of them. And that kind of thinking, which is commonly called bid rigging, is in fact discouraged under the Fair Trading Act. Those are a couple of examples. Prices increase, preventing other companies from entering the market. And I think that that is one we want to make very clear. So if you have one company or two or three companies operating in a monopolistic way, operating in a way in which their prices and or the quality of their product is at a particular level, but they are preventing by illegal practices other companies from entering the market, let's say smaller companies from getting into that market, then that is something the Fair Trading Commission is going to look at, and they can take the persons who are infringing the Act, I want to say, to the courts. So the Fair Trading Act entitles the Fair Trading Commission to take companies who infringe, who disobeys in whatever way what is provided for in the Act. The Act allows the company, allows the FTC to take such companies to court. Our preference, of course, is not to go that way, is to advocate, to demonstrate, and to bring the public, other companies and consumers aware of what are the practices that are not encouraged under the Act, and to give them an avenue to complain, to report, so that we can then do the investigation at the FTC to see to what extent the complaints are valid and to take the necessary action.
So let's talk a bit about the jurisdiction of the Fair Trading Commission as to how far does this net extend and who falls under your jurisdiction. And then on the flip side of that is who can make a complaint.
Well, to begin with, and a little bit the last point, which is anyone can make a complaint. A company can complain about another company that is in some way acting against what the Act provides for. The consumer can also report. Notwithstanding, we have the Consumer Affairs Division of the Ministry of Trade, So anyone can report, and our information, we have a website, and we can give that info@tntftc.org, and there are a number of numbers. People can go to the website and they can report in terms of the practices. The Act itself recognizes that they are sector regulators. So what the Act does is to say that these sector regulators are first and foremost responsible for their own particular industry. So you have, for example, the RIC, the Regulated Industries Commission, and they oversee the utilities. You would also have the idea of collective bargaining, which where trade unions or members get together and you have negotiation between employers and employees. You have certain kinds of, those are excluded, the banks and insurance companies fall under the ambit of the central bank, companies and several other areas where telecoms, so you have the Telecoms Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, those areas are exempted under the Act, which is to say they are primarily responsible for the unique circumstances of these individual sectors. However, the FTC is responsible for competition overall. We are responsible for ensuring that our companies behave in a particular way. And indeed, I need to point out that we work with the regulators. We are close. We operate in a manner that ensures, at the end of the day, there is a level playing field, and that we bring together the best skills in ensuring that we have a fair economy, a stronger economy.
One would appreciate the necessity for an organization like the Fair Trading Commission. In the time that the commission has been up and running, have you had reason to pursue action against organizations? And can you highlight some of the cases that might have seen the Fair Trading Commission acting?
The answer is no. We have not had the kinds of complaints coming to us formally that would allow us to investigate and to have to take the necessary action of taking companies to court. We have not had to do that. However, what we have been doing is to look at industries, to meet with industry, the various industry associations, the chambers of commerce, etc., to in fact explain the kinds of actions that are not acceptable under the Act. So we have played, if you like, a role of firstly educating. As I said, the Act only became fully operational, or it was proclaimed in 2020. So we just about 5 years with the Act formally proclaimed, although we have been established since 2014. The idea being, we are trying to change the culture of competition amongst businesses in Trinidad and Tobago. And to do that, we have been going out. We have been reviewing mergers. Several companies have, in fact, been submitting their merger proposals for review. That has been taking up quite a lot of our work, international companies, as well as local companies. And much of our efforts are in that direction, as well as training our staff to be able to identify where companies might be infringing the act. So we are looking especially in situations where you have monopolies, natural or otherwise, and we have been doing the necessary training and the necessary education, the necessary collaboration, and the necessary review of requests that are made to us, especially in respect of mergers.
I know that when it comes to the national landscape, we've had one or two very large issues when it comes to this very same thing of monopoly.
Yes.
Prior to the introduction of competition in the telecommunications market, TSTT ran a monopoly in the country. When we had the introduction of Digicel, I was in CNC3 at the time, and I remember the euphoria in the country because TSTT had engaged in some practices that were, no secret, it was public, the manner in which they conducted their business. The cost for a cell phone call was $3.50 per minute, both party pay. Remember those days? To the point where some people were so traumatized, up to today, you have some people who run off the cell phone quickly because they remember how much it used to cost. And bringing competition into the market with the advent of Digicel saw for the very first time things that people probably never thought was possible. Getting a cell phone for $49, buying a plan that would last for a year on your phone, and it went on and on and on. So obviously, one of the persons or the groups that benefit the most from competition in any market is the consumer. And we've had a number of others as well. We could speak about TCL and what has happened there. But we've had a number of instances where persons have tried to get into the market. I don't know if the Fair Trading Commission has been involved in any of these. We had Rockhard some years ago. Did Rockhard approach the Fair Trading Commission at all? Or was the Fair Trading Commission involved in that at all in any way?
Well, I think first let me, before I get to Rockhard as where, I'm glad you raised the example of TSTT and Digicel, because we use that to show that competition has benefits for other companies who wish to enter a market.
Mm-hmm.
Competition legislation is very important for allowing entry of companies into a market. And secondly, it is a good example for consumers to see the need for having an organization like the Fair Trading Commission, because that is the general idea that we wish to present, that the more competition there is, within certain limits, and we could talk about standards, because we also need to talk about standards, it is to the benefit of other companies, smaller companies perhaps, other companies to enter a market and to bring a higher standard of service, because what it does is to encourage the incumbent company or companies to do better, to bring a better level of service,
mm-hmm.
and or the consumer also benefits. Coming to the issue of TCL, it is some of what transpired. They happened long before the FTC's Act was fully proclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
However, the idea, we have been in contact with various companies. We have not had a complaint formally, as far as I know, as far as I'm aware, and here I stand corrected, from Rockhard or any other company. We have not had a complaint in respect of what they would face. Let me say, however, that we have been looking closely. We have been monitoring prices. As you would know, over the last few years, indeed since COVID, we have had what we call supply chain disruptions. the cost of shipping, the cost of transport, the cost of insurance. A number of costs have increased. And we try to distinguish between genuine increase in costs as opposed to artificial increases or increases which are not warranted. And whenever issues like this arise, we advise accordingly. We ask for information, we investigate, and we have investigated reasons. We have looked at studies in respect of how you arrive at the prices that you arrive at. And we therefore would then, based on that research, based on that evidence, we will then advise accordingly on particular issues. Remembering as well that there are a number of factors that can affect competition. To some extent, we can say that companies that have access to licenses, the licensing system is one that we need to look at closely, because sometimes you would have a situation where there are not enough licenses issued. The FTC does not issue licenses. It can advise the various arm of the state in respect of the issue of licenses, for example. And the idea we try to bring across is that while first we must have standards, and I think we need to talk about standards at the same time, we need to ensure that there are particular standards of whether it is food, whether it is cement, whether it is bricks, construction, whatever it is, we need to ensure, whether it is medicine, whether it's in the area of pharmaceuticals, it is important to have proper standards. And I think that that is something that sector regulators pay very close attention to. Mm-hmm. And we welcome that. In other words, we might have an monopolist. However, what we are charged with is an ensuring that that monopolist is not taking advantage of its position in the economy, of its size in the economy. And very often we might use the example, say, of a dentist, if we were to use that, I think it's easy to follow, where we do not want, one might argue we need to have some more dentists and that would bring prices down. But we would say, hold on, do we want any and anybody extracting teeth? And we will then say, well, no, we can't have that. So we need to have licensed dentists. The quality and the standard of service is important. And that goes for whether it is cement, whether it is medicine, whether whatever it is. But what we do is that if we do not, the Act does not allow us to stop a large company from operating. And I think it's important to make that point.
Yeah.
The Act does not prevent us. What the Act charges us to do is to ensure that company, which may hold over 40% of any market, is to ensure that it is not abusing its position.
Mm.
And we investigate that. And we are empowered to investigate that you are not abusing. So a sector may necessitate just one or two or three companies, as the case might be, because of the size, the capital required, etc. That does not mean, or I should put it positively, what that means is that once you offer a certain size, we are, whether or not we get complaints, we are going to investigate whether you are preventing entry of other companies artificially, and we are going to take the necessary action to advise you on your pricing and your quality of service.
Yeah, the issue of quality is an interesting one, and I would love to see a player trying to enter the market when it comes to cement. I'm just using this as an example, because we've had more than one person try to infiltrate the local cement market. We spoke about Rock Hard, and many, many years ago, Harricrete had tried the very same thing. And I remember Harricrete was bringing their cement in from Thailand, or wherever it was that it was coming in. And Mervyn Assam, as Minister of Trade, imposed a 200% import duty on the cement that was being brought in and made it unprofitable for the cement to come in. And then we started hearing things of illegal dumping and dumping of this and dumping. And I back then I was trying to figure out what do they mean by dumping. And it was an expression, a terminology to suggest that somehow or the other, the cement that was coming was inferior and that they were trying to get rid of it, and that's why they're selling it so cheap and all those kinds of things that tied into the whole narrative at the point in time. But what you're talking about here is intended at preventing that and making sure that anybody wanting to come into a market can have their product verified so that it's not accused of all these other things and their attempt is shot down. The Fair Trading Commission has a valuable role to play in our local landscape because persons seeking to do business, a fair playing field is always advantageous because sometimes you have people who have the capital that can make your entry almost impossible for you if they choose to do so, simply because of economies of scale and all those kinds of things. But from the entire discussion, it in order for people to benefit, they need to understand the Act. And they need to understand what the Act allows for, what it prohibits, and all those kinds of things. Tell us about some of the education drives that the Fair Trading Commission has embarked upon.
Well, we have been to the THA, Tobago House of Assembly. We have been to Tobago. We have been to the Supermarkets Association. We have spoken to the Ministry of Health, to Pharmacy, to the Broilers Association. And I can go on and on. Where we have the various chambers of commerce. We have, if you like, and over the last 10 years, in fact, we have quite a number of organizations that we have spoken to, that we have explained the Act. In addition, I think it is once a year we call together private sector lawyers that is the lawyers in the various commercial entities together and explain to them what their companies are liable for and what can happen if they do not observe the practices which are encouraged in the Act. So, and anybody who would like us to meet with them, they are open to writing us, to calling us, and saying that they would like to have a presentation by the Fair Trading Commission on what the Act says, what it allows, what they can do, what they are not allowed to do, and what we are trying to encourage. So we are essentially, if I might emphasize, Satish, we are trying to encourage fair competition through innovation, a new product, a new way of doing things, competition that is fair, that is market-based, that is not infringing any laws, so that there's going to be benefit. Now, there are some companies, the market might be open, and the quality of the imported product might be quite in order. But the company then has to operate at a certain scale. It has to also have access to foreign exchange. It has other kinds of market conditions that it has to meet to be able to enter that market. And our role is to ensure that the barriers to entry are appropriate for the particular sector.
Well, I can only assume that the work of the Fair Trading Commission has only just begun, because there is a long way to go in first and foremost getting the message out there so that people understand the avenues that are available to them, not just to prevent persons who they believe are unfairly treating with them, but to ensure that they have the opportunity to treat fairly with any market that they choose to enter. This is all the time that we have this morning, but it was a really interesting discussion on entities like the Fair Trading Commission. I think people need to know more about because of the vital role that the commission plays and can play in preventing some real problems from taking place. So I want to thank you for being with us here this morning and sharing the information. And as we wrap up, once again, just give people the ways that they can contact you all.
Yes, they can go to our website, tntftc.org, info@tntftc.org. We are at level 12, Nicholas Tower, 6365 Independence Square. Number 623-2931, extension 2202. I'll repeat that, 623-2931, extension 2202. 2209, 2212, 2213, 2226. So we encourage people to write us, to visit us, to invite us to share what the act is about. And we, our executive director, Mr. Devan Narayan Singh, and the staff at the FTC are willing and able, I should say, to carry out their task.
Yeah, Dr. Ramakrishnan, thank you so much for being with us here this morning and for sharing
this
information.
Thank you for having us, and thank you to your listening audience, Satish.
And that's how we drop the curtains on our interview here, ladies and gentlemen. Fair Trading Commission, learn more about it. It can be a valuable asset to you. This is where we're going to drop the curtains on our show.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.